Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Hello, friends. John Potter, and I am fortunate to have two honored guests for this segment. It is, evangelist Kenneth Mickey and evangelist Luke Anderson, and they are with the Church at Reno on North McCarran at Clear Acre. This is a longtime church. It's been there since 1957 with a school too, right?
That's right.
I mean, this is, I don't want to say big, but this school is accredited, and you do the core subjects and the electives. Your tuition is competitive compared to other Christian schools in Reno, and we have an impressive teacher to student ratio there too. Just what parents are looking for. So right. Tell me more about your school. And by the way, is there room for new students?
We're looking for new students. Like I said, the school's been going since 1979. Kenneth and I are both graduates from the school. Kenneth went on, he graduated from UNR also. He's got a degree from UNR. And we're looking to provide a Christian alternative to education in this town. And I know there's a need for that.
Why? What is the issue that you see with the public school education?
We are in the neighborhood of Hug High School. The old Hug High School is basically across the street from our location. And they've moved to a new campus. I have friends in law enforcement. There's 17 gangs that go to Hug High School. They've had fights.
I hear the new school. I hear the new school is getting kind of trashed too.
Yeah, I hear things like that. Just not the environment you want your children in on it. You know, they have metal detectors and
how many gangs at Hug High?
17 different gangs, I think, is what he said. So.
Ah, that's shocking. That's
sad and shocking. That's not unique to them. I've seen videos of fights at other schools in the area, teachers getting beat up and things like that. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of them, they rarely make the news.
Right.
But there was an incident, I guess, 2 years ago where there was actual video of a student pushing a teacher into a closet and teacher falls down, teacher quits, a teacher has just about had it. But there was nothing in there about the student being expelled or anything like that.
Yeah.
There's just no responsibility taking. There's no punishment meted out. Oh, my gosh. In my day.
Right. Yeah.
You were out. You were out. I mean, they didn't put up with that. And now it seems that they do.
Yeah. We it's a problem we face.
No discipline. No discipline. But this, when I say accredited, this is accredited by ACE, which is Accelerated Christian Education, and you've had hundreds of your graduates have gone on to pursue successful careers. So this school is all the way up to 12th grade, right?
That's right.
Okay, so what successful careers have some of your students moved on to?
I know we had the ad out a while back, but we've had people that are presently business owners in the community here. We have airline pilot, we have engineers, we have preachers and missionaries and nurses and teachers. There's a college teacher that graduated from our school.
Let me ask, yeah, thanks, Luke. Let me ask Kenneth, why are Christian core values so important to education? Why the Christian aspect to it?
Well, you can kind of see the environment that non-Christian schools are promoting right now within the public school. You can kind of see the environment that's there, and so we're definitely providing something that's got some morals, some values, and helps raise people right and treat people with respect and treat authority with respect, and then it sticks with them, and so as they go from there.
How do you teach them that respect? Do you have certain rules, like how you address people and teachers and other students?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like
there's,
what?
There's rules that how they address them as far as they're required to call them by their last name, Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. So there's a level of a
not
of
hey a, you.
Hey you, yeah. Hey you, we're not a this isn't a waiter service here. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Treat them with respect as well as treat other students with respect. And we encourage to treat them each other with kindness and treat them how you want to be treated. And it helps create a nice environment and a likable environment where the kids want to be there and staff then wants to be there as the teachers. And the.
You say another one of your advantages is student teacher ratio. How big are your classes?
Well, it's a more like the one-room schoolhouse. We don't have exactly classes, but because we have it the way we do, kids can work at their own pace on their own subjects, and then if they need help with something, we're there to help them with that. And so we have a diagnostic test that we give to every new incoming student, and so we can place them at whatever level that they're at. And if they want to work ahead, they can graduate early, or if they're behind in something, we can catch them up with that. And so we'll have maybe a kid that's ahead in science and behind in English, or vice versa, and we can make it fit any person.
We can call this a charter school?
It's not a charter school.
No?
It's a
What's
private,
the difference?
Charter schools are usually funded by
some
government organization.
Yeah. Private school. Then.
Yeah, it's a private
school. Do you have a dress code?
Yes, we do. We actually have a uniform that the kids wear every day to school. So,
and we help provide that. I mean, it's
why is wearing a uniform important?
Well, it puts everybody at the same level, and then if you dress up a certain way, then it's been proven that people act better if they're dressed better. It's just human nature kind of thing.
I don't mean to knock the kids nowadays, but I was behind a school bus letting out kids just yesterday. I was on my bike. Oh my gosh. The parents
see
less
what distractions
they're wearing.
For sure.
Do they see what they're wearing? Yeah. I don't mean to knock the kids though. It's something
I can
they
see how that'd be very distracting if you're trying to learn something and somebody next to you is dressed inappropriately. It'd be hard to focus on algebra
kids.
Or something.
It's not
yeah.
the kids' fault. You know, we all want to be rebels, you know, growing up. But it's a parent's job, you know, to tap it down a little bit. Let me ask you this one thing that I read about, or I read on my news at 9 o'clock this morning. I have to bring this up because we're talking Christianity. Washoe County Commission meeting had a Satanist give the invocation. Ended it with Hail Satan. Washoe County Commission meeting here, founder of Reno Satanic. I never heard of such a thing. But Hail Satan at the commission meeting, your response. Let me start with you, Luke.
I think it's unfortunate, and I was talking to Kenneth about it before this. I don't know how you would prevent that from happening, because we have to be inclusive and accepting, it seems like, in government things, but I think it's a tragedy that we can think that praying to Satan is an answer for this
community. That's true. You got to give equal religions equal time, but there's got to be a line drawn here.
Yeah. It's nonsense.
They don't even consider themselves a religion. They say, oh, we're not a religion, you know. We don't have somebody we pray to. Well, I thought the invocation was for different religions, so they don't even qualify under that.
Does
he even know what he's asking when he says, Hail Satan?
I looked at the video. The guy didn't make much sense at all. He was using big words and everything. To be honest with you, this man represents Reno Satanist, and if Satan's supposed to be so cool and with it, why do they have such dweebs representing him? I don't mean to be personal. Okay.
He drew the short straw, I guess.
Oh, I'm being mean. No. Okay, now we talked enough about the school. Tell me about the church, the services, what time, and how many, and how big are these, and what do you have? Do you guys play, have a live band on the stage like some churches do? Is it raise your hands and clap your hands type of thing? What are they like, Kenneth?
So we have three services every week. We have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then a midweek prayer and Bible study. And the great thing is that it's for all ages. It's not just for adults or just for kids at those different services. So Sunday morning starts at 9:30, and it runs till about noon. And what it starts off with, we have Sunday school for both the kids and
wait,
the
9:30, is that one session? 9:30
to breaks it up.
It's breaking down in two sessions, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it starts there at Sunday morning at 9:30.
And what are the services like?
So, for starting at 9:30, it starts out with a Sunday school for both the kids and the adults.
Sure.
And the kids have different classrooms depending on their age groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's teachers for the different ages. And then at 10:30, we have communion. And then we have the main message or the sermon for the day. And either Brother Anderson or I typically speak on Sunday morning. And then the music is kind of traditional, but yet it's upbeat. And the band is not on stage. It's very much the focus is on the stage.
I'm getting the terminology all wrong. I didn't mean to say stage. It's
that's
like
all
there's
right.
There's a pulpit and such.
Sure. Yeah, it's okay.
I know that deal. What now? Who's doing the sermon tomorrow?
Kenneth Mickey.
I'll be
Kenneth,
speaking in the morning.
Kenneth,
yes.
What's the sermon going to be about?
It's going to be the wisdom and godly people and the multitude of godly people.
What inspired you to write that sermon?
So it's January. A lot of people start off with resolutions come January 1st. And
yes.
So they're wanting to start different things. So each week we've been looking at what do we need to start with. And so first week was starting with God. Then we started with prayer last week. And then this is starting with the wisdom and godly counsel. So if you want to make a big change in you or your family, well then let's start with surrounding yourself with godly counsel and good wisdom that'll actually help you achieve your goals.
Love it. Okay, the reason you're here is to promote a Tuesday get-together. Tell us all about that, Luke.
All right, on Tuesday night we're having an open house.
This is for everybody.
For
everybody's invited.
Yeah, everybody's invited. The school is opening its doors at 5 o'clock, and it's going to go to 7:30. Reno Aces has offered to sponsor this, and so we're going to give away some tickets to some upcoming Reno Aces games. And so you can, just by coming, your family can be entered into those drawings for those tickets.
By the way, let me interrupt. Thank you, Reno Aces,
yeah,
for doing this and not shying away from, oh my gosh, we can't get involved in religion and somebody, a Muslim, might disagree and all this kind of stuff. Thank you, Reno Aces. I appreciate that. I'm sorry, Luke, keep going.
All right, and it's just to introduce people to the staff and to the school building and the way that we do things and
see the curriculum.
I know talking to some people that maybe homeschool and what they would like to see if they've never been to a school, and they said an open house would be really good for them. So
so it's a cool open house.
Yeah.
And how do you get give away the tickets to the Reno Aces?
Everybody that comes will be entered in a drawing, and then we'll draw names. And so,
nice.
Yeah.
Refreshments?
Yeah, there will be refreshments. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There has to be food. There's always food every time a church gets together.
Lunch,
so.
Absolutely.
All yeah. right, folks, you are invited. Starts at 5 o'clock at the church at Reno on North McCarran at Clear Acre. That's right next to what?
Right next to the Money Tree, right across from Sonic. So
all the things that were not there when I moved here.
Yeah, yeah.
Then my first apartment was Clear Acre and McCarran. There was nothing down there.
Yeah, no, I remember.
But your church dates back to 1957.
Well, the building was built there in 77.
Oh, okay.
At that location. Originally, we were down here on Apple.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out. Okay.
Yeah,
so folks, just show up there at the church at Reno, North McCarran, a Clear Acre, next to the Money Tree.
Yeah.
It's open for 2.5 hours there from 5 to 7:30.
And it's just a meet and greet and win Aces tickets and enjoy refreshments and get to know evangelist Kenneth Mickey and evangelist Luke Anderson. Anything else you guys want to tell the folks?
Sure. If for some reason you can't make it to the open house but would still like to see the facilities and meet the people, definitely call for a schedule. Call for an appointment to schedule a tour and be able to meet everybody. And you can do that by calling our office number at
729-5848.
729-5848. That's it.
You got a pancake breakfast flyer. What's that about?
Yeah, so on Friday morning, we have a school convention fundraiser. So it's supporting the older kids as they travel for their convention, which is their competitions. And so that'll be on Friday morning. It's a fundraiser to be able to raise funds for that. and that is Friday, January 26th from 6:30 to 8.
There you free go. Pancakes.
Free pancakes.
Free pancakes.
Donations accepted.
And there's more things than pancakes, sausages.
You can find out more, folks, if you go to that Tuesday open house at 5 o'clock at the church at Reno, North McCarran at Clear Acre. It's great getting to know you guys. Evangelist Kenneth Mickey and Evangelist Luke Anderson, thanks for being on this radio station.
All right, thank you.
It's nice meeting you. I'm John Potter. Going to take a break, be back. We're going to open up the phone lines for you. Talk about anything local at 884-9910 on 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time 1021.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello, John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, right here on these radio stations. Beautiful day. It's, like I said, it's one of those, it's going to be one of those four seasons in 1 week, weeks coming up. A little rain, a little snow maybe, temperatures cold in the morning, then warming up in the afternoon type of thing. I still have mounds of snow on my driveway, my house in the shade. But you know what? Thank goodness we're getting some real snow here and there instead of the rainy winters now. You know, the media takes a rest on the global warming shaming when the winter gets cold. That's one nice thing about cold winters. But still, between our politicians and our so-called newscasters, everything is an emergency. And I say this because every national news newscast has led with winter storms in the Midwest and out east. Oh my gosh, can you believe it? Winter storms in winter. In the ABC newscast I caught this week, David Muir said the word chaos four times in the first 2 minutes. But every night this week, it's been out and out, freak out, panic about the storms out east, which in the winter, folks, believe it or not, it's kind of an everyday thing. You know, there's always a storm somewhere.
I figured out why you still have snow in your yard. I figured
why?
Out why. Because you said that they hadn't plowed the streets, so they just took and piled it up in your yard.
Yeah, they're in cahoots with Spectrum and their internet and HP. But you, folks, if it's not the weather in the news, it is something else. But everything is a panic. Everything is something that should drive you to fear. It used to be, and, you know, I happen to be an old person, proudly I say that, but there was this guy on network news called Walter Cronkite, and he was pretty much like all the other guys and gals on the network television news. You would tune in, and they'd be calm, and they'd be businesslike, and they would, in steady, straightforward, methodical tones back in the day, tell you what was happening in the world. There were no blaring news music horns and no big letter graphics. There was no sky falling. There was no amping up of adrenaline. They just told you what was going on, right? When John F. Kennedy, the president of the United States, was assassinated in 1963, Walter Cronkite, in announcing it, he removed his glasses and he rubbed his eyes just a bit and he put his glasses back on. That was his one and only emotional demonstration. That small thing resonated across the country. He didn't have to act it up. And we all felt what Uncle Walter was feeling. But there's a whole new world that exists today. Instead of fortitude, it's fear that gets on the evening news. Every night, whether it's the national or local news, they try to dial up the fear, the panic, anxiety. I watched one live reporter this week reporting from a local reporter reporting from a truck stop, live report saying, quote, "The weather is just insane." Exact words, bull crap. This winter weather, whatever, wherever it is typical in the winter. This happens, and that's what winter is. And humankind kind of knows that and has adopted to it pretty well, you know, as evidenced by our continued presence on this earth. The fact that we haven't been driven to extinction by previous storm watch, yellow alert, storm days. Why treat us like numbskulls who don't know this? This peddling of panic, whether it's storms or politics or whatever, is meant to upset us, meant to divide us, meant to have us on edge. Life is something we can handle, but the news treats us like we can't, and some people are buying into that. You know, we had a weatherman in Reno back in the day. His name was Tom Lilly. He was on Channel 2 in the 1970s, and one thing he would say after predicting storms now and then was, "Nothing we can't handle." He would say that now and then, a simple, straightforward wisdom built upon his life's experience and the experience of our species over eons is what we ought to espouse. I love that. He said, after he gave the forecast, even if it was a big storm, he would say, "Nothing we can't handle." Craig remembers him.
That I do.
I don't know if he's still alive or not, but he used to be. We woke up, we looked out the window, and on the days we got a lot of snow, I was in school. I'd get up early to shovel out the driveway so Dad could get to work, you know, helping out. It wasn't a big deal. It was the way things were. Nothing we can't handle. That's true about the weather, and it's true about life. Tom Lilly was talking about the weather. I apply that to life. Nothing we can't handle. And we need to re-embrace that, and we need our leaders and newscasters to reinforce that, to bolster our confidence, not fuel our fear. In fact, there is nothing we can't handle, and the fact is we have to handle it, and we're going to, like we have in times before. How many times have we said to ourselves, "What was I worried about?" Right? Anyway, this week in Texas, they sent out an advisory on their cold snap. And again, as you've seen shouted from the network news, it's January and there's winter weather, including in Texas where millions are under a cold snap. Son of a gun, middle of January. We're in the meteorological range where we have the coldest weeks of the year, okay? But with the cold weather in Texas, that has increased demand for electricity. And that has pushed demand perilously close to supply, creating the potential that demand could exceed supply. So the state of Texas sent out a request to Texans asking them not to run their washing machines this week. And here's the deal. This situation in Texas is just a bit of a preview for the future of our state. 10 years from now, when they stop selling gasoline cars is when they stop allowing there to be new gas appliances to be sold in most states. As the federal government, as the Biden administration pushes all the energy eggs into the electric basket, when everybody's charging their cars and heating their house, everybody's doing everything with electricity. And this notion of we don't have enough power is going to be a constant sort of thing. In Texas this week, it was don't wash your clothes. Who knows what it's going to be in Nevada 10 years from now. But the deal is that the way of life we've known for 80-some years is imperiled by these folks who are dead set against fossil fuels like natural gas. That's the only minor panic that I have is that electricity and supply and demand. But it's a minor thing I worry about. What did Tom Lilly say, folks? Nothing we can't handle. Love that. It's 10:33. I'm John Potter. Phone lines are open, 884-9910. Open topic. Our next guest coming in 11, so get your calls in now, 884-9910. We're going to break for Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time,
10:33. 99.1. 92.3. Is FM Talk.
Today's words of wisdom: the best way to become enlightened is to argue with people on Facebook. Thank you very much. I'm John Potter. Time is 10:38. The emergency here at the Reno studios, Mr. Craig. The coffee machine
stopped working for you.
Yes, it did. It's telling me to descale.
Yep.
I have no idea what that means.
In most cases, it means put some vinegar in it and push the descale button, and it'll actually do that. I'm not sure if that's true for Keurigs, but it was true for other machines that you put the white vinegar in.
I have had it. I am going to bring my old-fashioned Cuisinart coffee maker here with the pot and make my coffee with that.
And your Folgers grounds in the can?
Yep.
Yes, Mrs. Folgers?
That's right. Grandpa will do it his way. These Keurigs drive me nuts. They're like the computer printer of hell when it comes to beverages. I'm sorry, but you're not going to make me a cup of coffee because you think you need vinegar. They do. I understand these machines, these gadgets, do get incredibly filthy inside, and I was told some advice I got from a frequent traveler. Said to me, John, don't ever use the hotel room's Keurig machine because they are filthy. Nobody cleans them. The maids don't bother with them or anything. You don't know what's in there. You don't know what people have put in there. And so now I travel with my own little miniature coffee maker that does not use these capsules. Thank you. I feel a lot better now.
You do? Okay, cool.
That's all that's important. Okay, folks, this week, Governor Lombardo officially endorsed Donald Trump for president, sending social media like Reddit into a frenzied tailspin. The young people on Reddit just could not handle this news. According to some who responded, this endorsement was the beginning of the end days. The governor also got some flack a couple of weeks ago for telling hundreds of state employees, no more work at home. Go back to your offices. So many state employees, from reading their frenzied responses, and they total up into the hundreds here, they don't want to do that. They like working at home. I can't take a side on this because I see the logic behind the pro and con of working at home versus working in the state offices. Number one, working at home can be more efficient. There's no traffic time. There's no driving delays. And you can save money on things like the office space and the power and the maintenance there that the state pays for the offices in all their building leases. We're talking millions and millions of dollars to house these state workers in government buildings. But on the other side of the issue, do they really work that much, that hard at home? But more importantly, we really need, I think, some state offices running at top capabilities to serve the public efficiently again. The DMV, the Department of Employment, the support services, the state police. I hear too many stories of how they are not back to pre-COVID manpower levels, especially in their offices. They got to come back when you look at it that way. The services right now, they suck from the state right now. The DMV, it's getting ridiculous. And getting back to the governor, I'm increasingly of the opinion that Lombardo didn't win because he was popular. He won because Sisolak was so unpopular. Our former governor signing in new laws that were originated straight from California, copying Pelosi's agenda of reducing penalties for criminals, and worst of all, completely botching the state government response to COVID. Remember how he came out swinging hard on the lockdowns at the very beginning? He was requiring every form of gambling in the state to be shut down with 6 hours notice. Some casinos had to literally buy chains and padlocks to close doors that were never designed to stay shut, much less be locked. Work from home, what was that like? His COVID mandates, nobody should have been forced to follow that BS. They were strict compared to so many other states, and they killed our state's economy. Go talk to any of the 100 or so owners of small businesses that failed because of Sisolak's mishandling of COVID. There are several thousand, really, from which to choose across the country with these states with their draconian mandates over reactions to COVID. I'm really of the opinion that Lombardo really won because Sisolak was just incompetent. How about you? 884-9910. I'm Craig agrees with me, right, Craig?
I do.
Don't you?
It's okay. Yeah. It's very rare that I agree with you, but yes, I do. I won't say very rare. It's about 50-50. Yeah.
And well, here's another way I'm not a fan. Lombardo's appointee to the Public Utilities Commission has ordered us taxpayers who are struggling to pay our sky-high power bills to reimburse NV Energy for $5.75 million in employee bonuses? Are you kidding me? I mean, it was going to be paid. Originally, the plan was it was going to be paid these bonuses to Nevada Energy. They were going to be paid half by customers and half by NV Energy. Well, now the ratepayers will have to pay 100% of these bonuses. The PUC, Public Utilities Commission, approved it right after, talk about gall. They approved this right after they approved over $92 million in rate increases on all of us. Would he do that without Lombardo's okay? I don't think so. Now, I understand with the rate increases, yes, there is, and landlords with their rent increases, aside from the greed, they legitimately have higher costs to run their apartments and run their energy company, just like we have higher costs with every single bill that we get. It goes up. That's inflation. Thank you, federal government. But this putting one thing on top of another and having us pay for the bonuses, and the governor approves of this. Well, I just have nothing more to say. 10:46, our time right now, our phone number 884-9910. I don't want to get you down too much. We're going to lift you up. As a matter of fact, we have a comedian who's scheduled to appear at the Carson City Nugget joining us at 11 o'clock. And what I love about our comic visits is they make total light of the news when it's the hardest thing to do sometimes. But in the meantime, right now we'll take your call, 884-9910. I'm John Potter, and we're going to take a break. I'll get off my podium and be back in a few minutes on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1047.
On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
You know, folks, I've been having a hard time changing eye doctors because every time I tell my current optician that I can't see him anymore, he moves an inch closer and says, how about now? I just can't. Anyway, I'm John Potter. It's 10:51. Stop groaning.
Oh, you heard that. I didn't even have my mic on.
What's that?
You heard that and I didn't even have my mic on. The groan.
I can sense what you're thinking. That's where it was.
That's a scary cut.
All right, here's something, folks. Maybe you can help out because I'm a little alarmed at something that has already happened at Disney World. I hope Disneyland has not been affected. Have you folks been to Disneyland in, say, in the last year or two? And I just want to know if what they did at Disney World, Florida, if they also did it at Disneyland. I assume so. You know, it's the same company. But in case you haven't heard, the Pirates of Caribbean Flume ride, which Disneyland has had that since, what, the 1960s? At Disney World in Florida, that ride has gone all woke, according to a good friend of mine who just came back. He went on the ride with his kids, the Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, chances are you've seen the ride in days past. You know, the pirates, they're all drinking around chests full of gold and they're chasing all the ladies. Remember the pirates chasing the ladies? Well, now it's been completely reversed. The pirates, which, you know, it probably was that way back when, you know, the pirates chasing women and stealing stuff. Well, now the ladies are in charge, chasing these very scared pirates and bashing plates over their heads. I am not chauvinist pro-pirate, okay? But truth be told, this is a cherished memory, an awesome ride that I remember as a kid. It doesn't really piss me off. It just is kind of a big difference. I haven't been to Disney World at all, but I'm a big fan still of Disneyland. I will never give up on Disneyland. Too many great memories. But I hope they didn't do this to our cherished, memorable Pirates of the Caribbean. If you know, let me know, even if it's bad news. Let me get this out of the way. And here is a sample of one of the most important local issues that are brought up and posted on the Nevada Reddit social media app. Somebody posted, is it true that there are more brothels near Reno than near Las Vegas? The poster writes, I want to move to Nevada, but I want to be near a legal brothel if possible. Unquote.
All right.
Of course. Now, I personally, I have no idea about the location of brothels. But there are 36 some responses, and their answer is yes. Mustang Ranch is 20 miles from the airport. Did you know, by the way, that the going rates are like $300 to $1,200 an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, you knew. You knew that.
I knew that. I used to drive Uber and Lyft, and I would be sitting inside eating when my passenger would be done, and then they'd tell how much they ended up paying. So,
how is it in this day and age you can charge $1,200 an hour?
Yeah.
I would think with the way society has changed that it would actually be cheaper than the old days.
Yeah. I did some digging since we had our pre-show meeting. I did some digging. And prostitution is legal in parts of Nevada. It's illegal outside the licensed brothels. Prostitution is illegal under state law in Clark County because it has over a population of over 700,000. The other counties are self-regulated as to whether yes or no they do or don't. Right now in Washoe County, there are none because the Washoe County has said no. Now, Lyon County, which is over here in Mound House, just east of Carson City, and oh, by the way, Carson City has no brothels. Mound House has the Love Ranch, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, Sagebrush Ranch, and the Kit Kat Guest Ranch. And those all are restricted to the Mound House area. You can't go, they can't, in Lyon County, they can't go anywhere out of that. So, but
oh, you are so knowledgeable about
Well,
this.
Yeah, thank you, Google.
Well, if I had professed this much knowledge about it, I would be getting the third degree in interrogation from my wife.
Exactly. How do you know? How do you know these?
But $300 to $1,200 an hour, that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Now, back in the day, from what I heard, actually, I do have some experience because in the 70s, after I graduated from college and moved to Reno to stay in 1978, every friend I had from those college days in Indiana, when they came to visit me in Reno, the first thing they wanted to do was go to the Mustang Ranch. And so, yeah, I would escort them over there. And, you know, it was not high pressure. I don't know how it is now, but it was not high pressure. They'd invite you to go to the bar, and you'd sit and talk to the ladies. And through conversation, if you were interested, you went to one of the rooms. But back then it was, I remember this, because my college friends would partake. And they said that the ladies had this cassette recording of music, and the cassette was 30 minutes long. And when the music stopped, when the cassette ended, that the session was over. But it was $30 for 30 minutes, 1978.
Something I just found that disturbs me, the precise licensing and requirements vary by county. Licensed prostitutes must be at least 21 years old, except in Story County and Lyon County, where the minimum age is 18.
Well, that's... I hope the two preachers who were on the show at 10 o'clock aren't listening to this. But anyway, it's
that's
important information.
Horrible.
It really is. And a lot of people, my gosh, how many people do not know that Reno and Las Vegas, per se, do not have brothels, but they think they do. And actually, if you include the so-called Reno massage parlors, okay, I mean, is it true you just have to go to certain Reno massage places with the, you know, the massage places with the tinted windows? I hear things.
And ask for the happy ending?
I don't know. I don't. I hear things. I converse with people. I'm getting uncomfortable here. Actually, is it warm in here? This is a very warm studio. Broken Keurig machine, too. We're going to break for Fox News. We're going to have some comedy here with our visiting comedian, Ryan Reese, who's going to be at the Carson City Nugget. And we're taking your calls at 84-9910. I'm John Potter. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk and FM News Talk time is 10:58.